A Question of Proof by Nicholas Blake, dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell. The scene is a bedroom in Sudley Hall Preparatory School, not one of the airy, green-washed, ostentatiously hygienic dormitories so reassuring to the science-ridden mind of modern parenthood, but one of those bedrooms resembling in its extreme draftiness nothing so much as a section of corridor in an express train which tradition assigns to dons, schoolmasters, and the lower ranks of domestic servant. The time is 7:30 on the 20th of June, 1934. Michael Evans is holding a razor to his cheek and contemplates himself in the mirror.
Really? Might have done a good deal worse. You're not Valentino, it's true. On the other hand, you're not a human mouse like poor Sims, or a battered Adonis like Gadsby. Be the plus face, on the whole. So, Hero seems to like it. That's the main thing. What on earth is going to become of us? After all, what could be more ludicrous than to be in love with the headmaster's wife?
What's the matter, Percy? Is there something wrong?
The Farley Munsons aren't coming. I was counting on them for a subscription towards the new Fives Court.
And I can't feel any guilt at all. Nor can Hero. In fact, she seems utterly oblivious to the possibility of our being caught out. Oh, blast! There's breakfast. Since it's sports day, we better drape ourselves in the old boy's tie. We can't be too careful about impressing the parents with one's essential old boyhood.
In the hall, the school is busy with breakfast. Gadsby, the common room bore, is absorbed in a very crumpled Daily Mail.
The jury's still out on the Sibley murder. Can't imagine what they've got to argue about. Mind you, you never really know what a fellow's capable of when there's a woman in the case. Such a self-effacing little chap.
So, when we find you lying in a pool of gore, we'll search Sims for the blunt instrument. You can't get much more self-effacing than Simmy.
Oh, come on, Wrench. Why should I want to murder Gadsby? He hasn't got a wife.
Well, I wouldn't be sure of that.
Well, if the murder's going to be done here, it'll be committed by me, on the person of Weenie.
That's because he's Percy's nephew. He thinks he can get away with anything.
He's got enough low cunning to keep out of trouble himself. But whenever there's a row on, you can bet your bottom dollar he's at the bottom of it.
The boy in question, the Honourable Algernon Wyvern Weems, is in the act of tormenting a slow, fat youth sitting next to him, a boy whose only sin is to be the son of a farmer.
Pack it in, Weems. I've never done you any harm.
Throw it, Weems. How are the pigs?
But there are others who have their eye on Weems.
Private conclave for the black spot, Lordy Cup. Password, dead man's chest. But it's sports day. So much the better. They'll never miss us. Tell them it's a matter of life and death.
It is mid-morning and Michael Evans has a period off. Beneath a conveniently loose brick in the wall of the headmaster's garden, there is a note waiting for him.
I shall be in the fifth form Haycastle at lunchtime. Highly imprudent, I know, but I must see you. I must.
The previous day, the boys had built circular castles out of the stooks of hay and had a mock battle. Now, in the fifth form Haycastle, hidden from the eyes of the school, Hero is waiting in a green dress.
You're crazy! You'll be asking me to meet you under Percy's study table next.
Do you mind?
You.
That will do for the moment. I want to eat my lunch. I've made some sandwiches for you, too.
I on honeydew upset.
No one but you would try to get away with a remark like that.
What explanation have you given to the authorities for this little picnic?
I just told Percy I was going to have my lunch in the sun. He's got used to my fantastic ways by now. Do you know, since I've loved you, I feel much more kindly disposed towards him.
I never understood why you married him in the first place.
In sheer panic. You don't know what a craving women have at times for reassurance and the feeling of firm ground beneath your feet.
Now you're out of your depth again.
But I've got you beside me now. I don't think I'd be a coward again. Unless you stop loving me.
only problem is, what the hell are we going to do about it?
Look, we've had all this out before. Don't talk about it now.
No. They'll be up from dinner in half an hour, and I've got to be on the field for the 4:40. Sims insists that I take the stopwatch. He forgot to press the button last year.
On your marks, get set, go!
The big event of the day was the 4:40 yards race. Every eye was focused on the runners. It was a great race. Michael, in the appalling days to come, was to remember it as frontline soldiers in the Great War remembered some scene. Cricket on a village green, shire horses standing up against the skyline, which somehow grew to be their vital link with sanity and England.
What a race! Did he beat the record?
Yes! By a fifth of a second. Amazing the way he caught up on the bend.
On the bend? He was leading on the straight. Did you miss the beginning of the race, Wrench?
No, I was gadding about acquiring merit with the parents.
Now, sports day has run its course. The silver cups have been presented. Percy has entertained the more desirable parents to tea, blithely unaware of the fact that one of the boys has been lying dead for some time, his face hideously blue and his tongue clenched between grinning teeth.
Apparently no one set eyes on the little blighter all afternoon.
Looks as though your little dream may have come true, Griffin.
Ah, no such luck. Weems always managed to keep out of trouble. Mark my words, he'll...
Percy wants you all in his study.
Hmm?
They've found Weems.
Ah.
He's been strangled.
Good God.
Where was he?
In the fifth form haycastle.
Isn't it a bit unwise coming in here like this?
Hero, I was not with you at lunchtime. You were alone in the haycastle.
But why?
Don't you see, darling? The police are bound to ask us all where we were. According to the doctor, the murder was probably committed between 1 and 4.
But we can give each other alibis.
Blow the lid off everything.
Oh, I see. You're being chivalrous. Percy's coming.
Promise.
Very well. I'll look out something for you.
Ah, Evans. The superintendent, his name is Armstrong, intends to interview all the staff individually. Will you hold yourself in readiness?
Yes, of course.
Good night, Mrs. Vale.
Good night.
What did he want?
Some properties for a play he's doing with his form.
This is a most unsuitable time to be thinking about play acting. Oh, it has all come as a terrible blow to me, Hero. I've given my whole life to the school, and now this happens. And to a boy to whom I stood in loco parentis, his only close relative.
Nobody can say it was your fault.
That is hardly the point. You know perfectly well that any suspicion of scandal is enough to ruin a place like this, and where shall we be then?
Well, I suppose we shan't starve. We shall be coming into some money now, I take it.
My dear, that was a most uncalled-for remark. I should have expected a little more sympathy from my wife on such an occasion as this.
I'm sorry. I expect I'm a bit overwrought myself.
Yes, it is a difficult time for us all.
Especially since we're under suspicion.
Huh? Because of the money? But surely...
Well, the police will certainly be looking for a motive, and they can hardly ignore the fact that you are Weems's heir.
Now, sir, if you could give me an account of your movements between 1 and 4.
I was in school till 1:45, and taking luncheon in hall till 1:30.
All your staff at lunch, sir?
Yes. No. Evans asked to be excused attendance.
And did he give any reason?
I do not consider it necessary for my staff.
Exactly, sir. Yes. And then...
I went up to my dressing room to change. Then it was time to go and meet the parents.
And when did they begin to arrive?
About 2:15.
You were in your dressing room from 1:45 till 2:15, changing.
Yes. Well, I dare say I lay down and rested for a part of the time.
And is there anyone who can confirm this? His servants, perhaps, or your wife?
This is outrageous. I did not commit this murder... And I was in my room from 1:45 till 2:15. If you do not take my word for the one, you are hardly likely to take it for the other.
No, sir. We can't afford to take people's words in murder cases. If I can't get the information from one person, I can get it from another.
my wife came up to her bedroom a little before two. It adjoins my dressing room. We spoke a few words through the door.
Thank you, sir.
And now I'd like to have a few words with Mrs. Vale.
Oh, no, I wasn't in the hall for lunch. I took some sandwiches out into the hayfield. It seemed a pity to waste such a sunny day.
I take it you didn't see anything of your nephew, Wyvern Weems, or anyone else while you were in the field?
No, I couldn't. You see, I was in one of the hay castles. I'm afraid it was the one where they found him.
Oh, how very distressing for you. Though lucky for us, in a way.
What do you mean by that?
It narrows down the time during which the murder could have been committed. And where did you go after your lunch?
I went back to change. It must have been about a quarter to two.
And did Mr. Vale go out with you?
Oh, no. He was already in his dressing room.
And now it is the turn of the staff. Tiverton is doing his best to maintain a rather world-weary manner.
Well, really, I'm not my brother's keeper. Griffin had a cigarette in here with me before we went out to check the sports arrangements. No idea what Wrench got up to. He wasn't on the field when the first race was run.
Gadsby is hearty and rather too confident.
Matter of fact, I slipped into the village for a quick one. Have to get primed for these social riots.
Quite so. And how quick was the one?
Oh, very good. Well, to tell you the truth, it was quick, all right, but rather more than one. They keep jolly good beer at the Cock and Feathers.
And Mr. Sims is rather hesitant. An uncertain smile looks out coyly through his reedy moustache.
Oh, dear, I have a hopeless memory for this sort of thing. I came into the common room for a bit. Tiverton was here, I think. And then I changed and went out for a smoke.
Whereabouts did you go?
Along by the hayfield. Griffin must have seen me. He was out on Bickfield.
Wrench sits gripping the arms of his chair. There is a nervous tick in his right eyelid.
Well, after lunch, I went up to my room. I lay on my bed for a bit. I was feeling rather seedy. I read for a while, changed, and then went down.
I understand you missed the first race, sir.
No, of course I didn't. I was there on the field talking to one of the parents.
And which parent would that be, sir?
To tell you the truth, I don't know. A tall, blue-eyed chap in a brown suit. He asked me how Tom was getting on. Hadn't an earthly who he was, but I told him Tom was doing fine.
Griffin is ready to lose his temper on the least provocation.
I believe you made a rather threatening remark about the deceased at breakfast, sir.
Good God. If you're going to drag out that kind of rubbish, you'd better arrest every schoolmaster in England on suspicion of murder.
You must realise we have to go into every detail, however trivial. Did you notice anything unusual when you got out onto the field after lunch?
Well, our groundsman must be descended from a long line of village idiots. He put out an extra set of hurdles. And when I took him up on it, he actually had the gall to deny all knowledge of it.
Last to be questioned is Michael Evans. He has had no chance to find out what Hero has said.
No, sir, I am told you were not in school for lunch.
No, I went out into the wood beyond the playing field.
And did you see Mrs. Vale?
No.
Oh, I thought you might have done. She was having lunch in the hayfield. So, you were in the wood from 1:15 to about 2 o'clock.
That's right.
Then how do you account for the fact that this pencil of yours was found in the hay castle where the body was? M.E., yes. These are your initials, aren't they?
Well, you don't know how to account for it unless it dropped out during the hay battle yesterday. I was racking about with the boys a good deal.
Yes.
Very awkward for you, that pencil business.
You sure you lost it in the hay battle? I thought I saw you using it this morning.
In a detective story, of course, it had been planted by the killer to throw suspicion on you.
And that could only have been done by someone in this place.
What a very unpleasant thought.
Just been taking Simmy along to the Cock and Feathers. He seemed a bit down in the mouth, so I persuaded him to take a dose of Mother's Special.
Very agreeable it was.
Yeah. Mind you, thought we'd never get there. Simmy saw a yellow-bottomed gorse tit or something, and I had to wait while he stalked it.
Wasn't.
Talking of birds, where's Wrench tonight? stalking the fair Rosa, I suppose.
What on earth are you talking about?
You mean to say you haven't noticed her making eyes at him when she's serving dinner?
Dirty work at the crossroads, you mark my words.
That's quite uncalled for, Gatsby. Yes, because some people choose to behave like animals. Disgusting filth.
Speak of the devil.
Is there any coffee left?
Yes, of course, Wrench. Here.
The boys are a bit worked up tonight. Small wonder. I've been putting them to bed.
There you are, Gatsby.
What do you mean, Sims? There you are.
Well, Gatsby thought you were putting Rosa to bed.
Steady on, old man.
You filthy bastard!
You dirty little...
Leave him be, Gatsby. You've done enough damage for one night. Your presence is no longer required. Simmy, you've got to help me get Wrench to the bedroom.
Yeah, of course. Up you come.
Come along.
Now, what on earth made me say that about Rosa?
Yes, we all seem a bit bedlamite tonight. Time to turn in, I think.
Once again, the bell rings out to tell the school that another day is beginning. The shadow of death still hangs over Sudley Hall, lying heavy as original darkness, darkness that emanates from one of the rooms of the school. But which?
I had a visit from young Evans first thing this morning.
Oh, yes?
He suggested that he should invite a friend of his to investigate the mystery of poor Algernon's murder.
A friend of his?
He is what I believe is called a private inquiry agent. He also happens to be the nephew of the assistant commissioner at Scotland Yard.
And what did you say?
I asked him to telephone his friend without delay. I'm by no means happy with the course the inquiry is taking.
Has the superintendent been bothering you about the will?
He has not even touched on it. But I strongly resent members of my staff being held in suspicion.
Whatever do you mean?
He says he found Mr. Evans's pencil in the hay castle where Algernon was murdered. He dropped it there, of course, during the hay rag. But the police seem to be attaching considerable importance to it.
I see.
This friend, Nigel Strangeways, will be arriving by the 12:40. Evans has the last period off and intends to meet him at the station. I thought perhaps you might care to drive him there and bring Mr. Strangeways back.
Yes, that's an excellent idea. Mm. It will be good to have somebody on our side. I don't much care for Superintendent Armstrong.
Ah, oh, Mr. Evans. I wonder if I could have a quiet word with you. The morning room is empty, I think.
Of course.
I have to ask you one or two questions which you may find rather distasteful.
Well, you'd better go ahead.
When you were in the woods, did you happen to look over in the direction of the hayfield?
Once or twice.
And did you notice Mrs. Vale there?
No, she was in one of the hay castles, I believe. I couldn't see over the top of them from where I was.
And would you be prepared to swear on oath that, to your knowledge, no one else came into the hayfield while you were in the wood?
Yes, for its worth. What on earth are you getting at?
You must understand that what I'm going to say is in strict confidence.
Yes, go on.
The most tenable explanation of the crime so far is that it was committed during lunch by Mrs. Vale, with or without the connivance of her husband.
You must be mad!
It can't have escaped your notice that she has a very strong motive.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to this.
Look, that's why I asked you if you'd seen anyone else there. Anything that tended to prove that Weems was not in the hay castle with Mrs. Vale would naturally...
Just a minute, Superintendent.
Yes, sir?
Well, you've told me something in confidence. I'm going to make the same request of you. If what I'm going to say tends not to have any bearing on the case, will you promise to keep it to yourself?
Well, sir, that's not an easy thing to promise, but I can assure you that if we solve the problem, we shall not bring forward any evidence that is not strictly necessary to incriminate the murderer.
Very well. I was with Mrs. Vale in the hay castle from 1 to 1:25. Mm.
You realise this is a very serious matter, Mr. Evans. You and Mrs. Vale have been obstructing the police in the course of their duty.
I know that, but we couldn't let it be known. Scandal.
Well, the pair of you have led us a pretty dance. But this would certainly seem to let Mrs. Vale out. Of course, sir. I'll have to have a word with her.
I'm so relieved it's all out in the open at last. Mm. But what made you change your mind? Why did you tell the superintendent?
He forced my hand. He told me he reckoned that you had killed Weems.
But I thought it was you he suspected.
What?
Well, Percy said they found your pencil in the hay castle. Mm-hmm. And then when the superintendent told me you'd altered your evidence, I thought you'd done it because you'd lost your nerve. Oh, please forgive me. I feel as if I'd just been reprieved and let out of prison. But now I think we'd better tell Percy.
Yes, you're right.
Let's wait a few days, though, till he's got over the shock.
Is he taking it badly?
Rather what you'd expect. Mm. The school will be ruined and so on. But we'd better be on our way to the station. We mustn't keep your friend waiting. What's he like, Miss Nigel Strangeways?
Oh, he's a very good stick indeed. We were up at Oxford together, but he couldn't stand the place, so he answered all his mods papers in limericks. Stones didn't have much taste for modern verse, and he was sent down. He travelled about a bit, settled down to investigate crime. He said it was the only career left which offered scope to good manners and scientific curiosity.
But you still haven't told me what he's really like.
Well, he looks a bit like one of those less successful busts of T. Lawrence and drinks tea at all hours of the day. He's a simple soul, really. He gets on with everyone. He'll even get on with Percy.
More tea, Mr. Strangeways.
Oh, yes, please.
What would you like me to arrange for you? Would it help if I were to call a staff meeting?
Oh, no, nothing like that. I'd like to spend my first day getting the feel of the place. Just wander about, talk to one or two people. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the least fancy. They'll all have had quite enough questions from the police.
You will, of course, have one great advantage over the superintendent. You will be perceived by the staff to be on our side, and that is half the battle. Feel free to go where you like and talk to whom you please.
Let us follow Strangeways as he steers an erratic, seemingly aimless course about Sudley Hall. He has breakfasted with the staff. Work has begun.
No, Anstruther. Habeor is not the passive subjunctive, it is the passive indicative. Habeor is what I require. Habeor est, habeor tuer, habeor mor, habeor mini.
The real, genuine old pedagogue matured in the wood. No. Percy's not passionate enough for murder.
The Mediterranean climate. Warm, wet winters, hot, dry...
Gadsby. Once upon a time, he'd have been the life and soul of the party. Now he's practically burnt out. The type who might get mixed up in a squalid cream passionale, perhaps. Gadsby might commit murder out of fright.
Stop this noise at once!
Oh,
sit down, can't you? What's the matter with you?
Please, sir. Bongo's lizard has escaped. Look out!
It's
going up your trousers.
Well, sounds more like a witch's Sabbath. Oh, Lord. Here comes Percy.
The whole form will stay in this afternoon and write lines. Stevens and Ponsonby will come to my study at 12:45. Mr. Sims, a word with you, if you please.
Poor devil, no one gives him a chance.
Never in my life have I seen such a lamentable exhibition of incompetence. You just let them run all over you. Haven't you got an atom of self-respect?
My heart, if anyone spoke to me like that, I'd break his head. Poor old Sims is too downtrodden even to whimper.
The only law he knew was the law of the axe. Thomas More, Thomas Cromwell, and Wolsey only escaped by taking refuge. Where, Bartlett?
Griffin's having a whale of a time.
Me, sir!
If he's a murderer, I'll eat my hat and join the nudists.
Now copy this. 2 (x).
Tipperton only manages to keep order by incessant nervous effort. No real sympathy between him and the boys. Murderer? On the surface, he seems too spinsterish and fond of his own comforts. But you can never be sure with a type like that.
Right, Jenkins. You're going to be Mark Antony, and the rest of you are going to be the mob.
Now, Wrench has something like a genius at teaching. He's got brains. Brains enough to plan and carry off a murder. Suppose there was something that threatened to ruin his career. And supposing that Weems knew about it.
Ah, so that's where you got to. Mr. Strangeways. Making any progress?
It's a bit soon for that, I'm afraid, Superintendent. I'm just taking a look round.
If it's not too much trouble, sir, perhaps we might have a little chat. Compare notes, so to speak.
An admirable idea. Why don't we pool the facts, but keep our theories to ourselves for the time being? There's no one in the morning room. I'll get them to send us a pot of tea, and you can bring me up to date.
And so, as I'm sure you can see for yourself, sir, the facts are all pointing in one direction.
Mrs. Vale and Michael Evans.
I wouldn't have expected you to agree so readily.
Well, why not? Evans is a good friend of mine, but I shan't help him by shutting my eyes to all the evidence against him. From what you say, the most likely time for the murder to have been committed is between 1 and 1:30, when everyone's movements are accounted for, except those of Evans and Mrs. Vale, who admit they were actually on the spot where the body was found.
Well, that's it, sir. Obviously, the boy blundered in on them, and they had to shut him up.
A defence counsel might come up with one or two queries, you know.
Oh, yes.
It seems most unlikely that a murderer would admit from the beginning having been on the spot where the murder was committed. One would expect them either to have cooked up an alibi or dumped the body somewhere else.
It might be a kind of bluff to sidetrack suspicion by putting themselves in the most obviously suspicious position from the start.
It might. It has been done. Anyway, my second point is this. Supposing the murder had been done from the motive you suggest, it's unnatural that a murderer should be so easily induced to betray his motive. One doesn't give up one's key position without making a fight for it.
Yeah, I take your point, sir. But I must be getting on. I can see you don't need any advice from me. But there is one line I'd like to suggest. I haven't been able to get much out of any of the boys.
Nasty little snobs, I bet.
That's just it, sir. But I reckon that the boys are the only ones who might give us a line on
what it was that made Weems conceal himself so successfully till the murderer was at liberty to finish him off for good.
You know, Mr. Strangeways, either you're a mind reader or you ought to be running this case instead of me.
Another cup of tea?
No, thanks all the same. I'd better be on my way.
So, how's it all going?
Nothing very discernible. Tell me, how's your husband feeling about things now?
Oh, nothing's changed. The bottom of his world has been knocked out, but I expect he'll grow a new one soon enough. Unless the parents start removing their boys.
But surely...
You think I'm being too flippant, that I ought to be more concerned about him. Don't you realise that Percy means nothing to me now? I love Michael, and I don't care what happens so long as he is happy.
I understand all that. I know that you love Michael, and that no one could make him so happy as you. But I imagine your husband meaning nothing to you is more of a wish than a fact. You can't live with a person for several years without forming some sort of a relationship. And personal relationships don't just vanish into thin air. The truth is, you're angry with yourself for not being able to break the ties between yourself and your husband.
Yes, you're right. It's terrible. It's like a nightmare. There is Michael stretching out his hands to me, wanting me so badly. And I try to run to him, and it's like running through deep sand. Do the police still suspect him?
I'm afraid they still suspect both of you. You see, the case against you is the only possible one that can be built on the facts the superintendent has got so far.
But you don't think we did it?
No, I don't.
But how can you be so sure?
Oh, I'm not really a very good detective, you know. If I was the proper, inhuman, cold-blooded scientific sleuth, you'd be top of the list. But I'd rather believe my friends than the facts.
You are nice. But where do you go from here? How are you going to find something that will get us off the hook?
Oh, I'm not quite sure yet. Just at the moment, I'm trying to find the answer to a question that keeps on nagging at me.
Why did Weems hide himself away?
Well,
as it happens, I might be able to point you in the right direction.
How's that?
Well, I had a visit from the head prefect at lunchtime. It was due he wanted, really, but I said I'd pass the message on. Now, apparently, on the morning of the murder, there was some talk among the boys of taking a strong line with Weems.
So you mean giving him a hiding?
Yes, something of the sort. Now, the boy could hardly take a hand in it himself, so he passed the job on to his younger brother. Now, he runs a secret society that calls itself the Black Spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't suggesting they'd killed him, of course, but they may be able to tell you why Weems went into hiding.
It's rather difficult, you see. It's the secret of the Black Spot.
Yes, tricky.
So we thought, if you could become a member of the Black Spot yourself...
It would be a great honour.
The trouble is that everyone has to pass a test before we allow them in.
Well, couldn't I do that?
We make do rather funny things. I mean, it's all very well for boys, but I don't think it would do for grown-ups.
Well, I'd be prepared to give it a go.
Would you, sir?
Hmm.
We'll work it out tonight. We have to make up different tests for each new candidate, you see.
Uh-huh.
Somebody will slip a note into your hands at breakfast tomorrow.
Ye must perform the following exploits by 2 p.m. today. 1. Chalk a white moustache on the nymph of the drinking fountain in Sudley. 2. Ask Higgins to show you his famous scales. 3. Remove one rabbit trap from the estate of Lord Edgeworth. Burn this paper.
And did you manage it all?
I thought I was bound to end up either in jail or a county asylum, but I could never resist an adventure. I found the Sudley nymph easily enough and chalked a positive walrus of a moustache on her fair features.
Sherlock Holmes never had to do things like that. And what was so remarkable about Higgins' famous scales?
But they're doctored to give short measure. I was lucky to get away with my life.
And the rabbit trap?
The whole place was positively swarming with gamekeepers. But I managed to grab a nasty-looking noose affair without being spotted. And then, as I was creeping back to the road, I heard voices a little way ahead of me.
There's nothing to be frightened about, Rosa. Keep your mouth shut and we'll be as safe as houses.
I can't help it. That Armstrong frightens me. I know he'll make me tell him.
I'll wring your pretty neck if you do. You'll ruin me if you're not careful. We don't say a word unless they begin to suspect us of the other thing.
I don't think you care for me a bit.
Oh.
All you're concerned about is your pathetic reputation. What about me? I should never have let
you... Oh, come off it, Rosa. Anybody would think you were a poor little innocent...
And at that point, I trod on a twig, which snapped like a gun going off, and they bolted like a couple of startled deer.
What do you suppose he meant by the other thing? The murder?
It sounded like it.
Do you think Wrench did it?
It's quite possible. I think I might have a little word with Armstrong. At least it'll give him something else to think about.
Other than Michael and me, do you mean?
Yes. But I must be off. Time for my initiation into the Black Spot.
Do you swear... on pain of death, never to reveal the secrets of our society to any living soul.
I do so swear.
Then, by the powers invested in me, I declare you to be a member of the Black Spot.
Oh.
Don't worry, sir. It'll easily wash off.
So, what is it that you have to tell me?
Well, you see, it's about the day that Weems was murdered. We'd arranged to meet after lunch in Mouldy's hut to transact important society business. About giving Weems what for?
Hmm.
And then we head back to school to get changed.
Yes?
And that's all.
That's all?
You see, we thought we ought to tell you, because the policeman asked if anyone had been outside after lunch, and we couldn't tell him because it was a Black Spot and deadly secret.
And you didn't see Weems while you were out?
No, sir. I'm afraid we haven't been much help.
I suppose Weems wasn't a member of the Black Spot.
I should jolly well say not, the slimy little chiser.
Might he have thought he had a chance of being elected?
Oh, I should think so. He was sorry enough.
Would he have known about the tests and all that?
Probably. It's supposed to be a secret, but most of the school know the sort of things we do.
And what kind of tests have you set?
Altering the school clock, pinching the porter's bell. Stevens had a jolly nippy idea for one last term. He was going to tell a chap to disappear for 2 hours.
Hmm.
He could go anywhere he liked in the school or in the grounds, but he mustn't be seen. And it didn't come off. We were passing the note along to the chap, and the master saw us and confiscated it.
And did he make a fuss about it? Or did he tear it up without reading it?
He was jolly decent about it. We didn't see him tear it up, but he couldn't report it to Percy, or we should have got tanned.
And who was the master?
Simmy. He's not a bad sort of beezer at all. He wasn't such an absolute ass.
Oh, bless my soul. However did you get to hear of that? Yes, it was some nonsense about a secret society, telling someone he was to disappear. I've got to see what you're driving at. You mean one of the boys sent a similar note to Paul Weems? Oh, but I can't believe that one of them...
What did you do with the note?
We destroyed it.
We?
I showed it to Wrench, and Gatsby and Tiverton both took a look at it, and so did Adams. It was he who suggested that we shouldn't let the matter go any further.
Why was that?
Something about secret societies being a sign of inventiveness. He knows a great deal about boys, but then he is so popular with them. Somehow I never seem to have got the knack of it.
So the murderer writes to Weems, telling him that to qualify for the black spot, he's got to disappear for 2 hours. Mm. But if he decided to hide in the hay castle, well, how come he didn't come across us?
I rather think he might have been given another test. Practical joke, perhaps.
Oh, like putting out that extra set of hurdles. In bold, he swore blind he didn't do it.
That would certainly set the bell. And the only time he could safely have done that was between 1 and 1.30, while you and Hero were... in the hay castle. Mind you, this hasn't got much ice with the superintendent. And the fact that you were the one who said that the note ought to be hushed up hasn't exactly helped matters.
What about Wrench and Renzo?
Oh, that was a very grisly business. He insisted on dragging me along with him. It's just as well the rack and the thumbscrew have gone out of fashion.
You know, a spell in prison wouldn't do you any harm, young lady.
What do you mean? What am I supposed to have done now?
Just a little matter of giving false evidence.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You still maintain that you were alone in your room that day from 2 to 2.30.
Yes, I was. That's what I said.
Looks pretty bad for Mr. Wrench, then.
Why?
Well, if he wasn't in your room, I can make a pretty good guess what he was up to.
But he was in my room.
So why did you say he wasn't?
Because he told me not to admit it, and
unless we suspected him of having something to do with the murder. Is that it?
And Wrench came in for much the same kind of treatment.
Poor devil.
But now I want to ask you a few questions.
Far away.
How did you and Hero arrange your meetings? Word of mouth?
Sometimes, but lately she took to putting notes under a loose brick in the garden wall.
And did you never miss any of them?
Not as far as I know. What are you getting at?
Well, what's been bugging me all along is why the murderer chose to stage his act in your hay castle. I don't like it. He's not just clever, he's...
Indeed, you know who he is.
I think I do. But I don't know how I'm going to make it stick. It's a question of proof. That's a good title for a detective story, if you ever write one. And I haven't got enough proof to fill an acorn.
Tarnow's off. Percy's called a council of war about the parents' match.
You mean he's going ahead with it?
Yes. Gives him a chance to demonstrate his business-as-usual spirit. You know, backs to the wall, bulldog breed, never say die.
It is late afternoon, and the parents' match is heading for a regular school story finale. The parents have scored 203, despite the vicar's sporting gesture of allowing himself to be stumped. Now, the school score is creeping up and up.
197-9!
6 to draw, 7 to win. It's going to be a very close finish.
4! 2 to draw, 3 to win.
A bye. Give me something for their lives. 2. And another. He'll never do it.
He's made it. We've won, Percy. We've won.
What is it?
Percy. Oh, my God.
What's happened?
Hero, what is it?
Mrs. Vale has fainted.
Somebody run and get her some water.
I'll go.
What on earth's happened?
She looks very much as if Mr. Vale has been murdered.
Oh, stripes.
Good God.
Was that Mr. Evans running off?
He went to get some water.
I think Mr. Vale is dead.
Pass me that megaphone, if you please.
Ladies and gentlemen, no one is to leave the field. Mr. Vale has met with an accident.
Try to drink a little, darling.
Thank you.
Now, madam, I'm very sorry to trouble you, but the sooner I get all the facts, the quicker we shall find whoever did this.
Percy spoke to me just before the last over. When we won the match, I turned to him. I thought he must have gone to sleep. I touched his arm,
and he fell off the seat.
Just try to calm down.
Did any of you touch the body before I came over?
Tiverton and I turned him over. We saw that he'd been stabbed.
Which of you removed the weapon? Don't you know that he was never...
We didn't. There was no weapon there. Nothing at all.
Sergeant, no one is to leave here till they've been searched. You'd better get hold of a police matron for the ladies.
You took a long time getting that glass of water, Mr. Evans.
No longer that I can help.
Where did you go for it?
My bedroom.
Do you mean to tell me there's no tap nearer than that?
No, there are lots, but no glasses.
I see. I must ask you not to return to your room until I give you permission. Is that understood?
Perfectly understood, Superintendent.
Well, this fair beats me, Mr. Strangeways. The field, the marquee, the pavilion, the path to the school, and the school itself.
We've been over the whole caboodle with a fine-tooth comb, searched every man and woman who was on the field, and not even a smell of that dagger.
We ought to have found out if anyone here's a sword swallower.
Oh. Well, it's as plain as my foot, or should be. Mrs. Vale carried the stiletto in her clothing, waits until everyone's eyes are glued on the game, and then stabs her husband in the back. She gives him a push and pretends to faint. Evans comes rushing up, cuddles her a bit, and she passes the weapon to him. He puts it inside his coat, goes off for the water, and hides it somewhere in the school. Oh, damn it, it must be right. There's obviously some hiding place that we've missed. We'll have another look for the weapon tomorrow morning. And if I find it, I shall arrest them both.
But where's the motive? On your theory, Evans murdered Weems to prevent his affair with Mrs. Vale coming to light. Well, that seemed thin enough. But why murder Vale? She'd only need to ask him for a divorce, surely.
No, sir, that's not the case. I happened to be passing the dining room the other evening, and I heard Mrs. Vale telling Evans that her husband would never divorce her, even if she could bring herself to ask him.
Happened is good.
Yes, well, you surely wouldn't deny there's a strong connection between the two murders.
Oh, far from it. I suggest there's even more connection than meets your eye. And, incidentally, I'm prepared to lay 20 to 1 that you find the murder weapon in Michael Evans' room tomorrow.
It is exactly a week since Weems was strangled in the haycastle where Michael and Hero made love. It is to be a terrible day for them, an exciting day for Superintendent Armstrong and for more than one of the staff, a day notable for perhaps the only triumph in the drab life of Hugo Sims, and quite a remarkably busy day for Nigel Strangeways.
The fire alarm? It's a whopping great bell outside number one dormitory. When it rings, everyone, including the masters, has their hair out of the school and form up in the yard. We made someone ring it once as a test for the black spot. And there was a frightful row.
I suppose it wouldn't be possible for it to be rung today.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll do it.
Don't worry if anyone catches you. I'll see it's all right.
Thank you, sir. There's something I've got to tell you. About Smithers.
That fat boy who everybody rags?
Yes. Pongo and I thought he was getting a bit out of hand, so we rescued him from a bit of bear baiting. He was ever so grateful. He knows we've been talking to you. He said there's something important he had to tell you. About Weems.
You were quite right, Mr. Strangeways. There it was all the time in Mr. Evans' room, resting on top of the picture rail. I can't imagine how my sergeant felt to notice it.
Seems to have lost its handle. Nasty-looking thing. Just a thin piece of steel filed to a point.
A very efficient tool for the job. And I've got the warrant here. I'm going to arrest the two of them now and get it over with.
Before you do that, I'd like you to see a boy called Smithers. He's come up with a rather interesting piece of information. But you must promise not to bully him. He's very sensitive, even if he doesn't look it.
Come, sir, you know I never bully witnesses.
Good. I just want you to sit quietly and hear what he's got to say.
It was the day Weems got killed. I had to go up to Mr. Wrench's room just before the sport started. I got some lines to hand in, but he wasn't there, so I waited a minute or two.
And then?
I went and looked out of the window. You can see the hayfield from there. And I saw Weems in the haycastle.
So, what about it? We all know he was there then. He'd just been murdered.
Oh, no, sir. He waved to me.
He what?
Don't worry, Smithers. Mr. Armstrong is just a little surprised, that's all.
Carry on.
Weems was sitting up against the wall of the Hay Castle, and he waved his hand.
And what time did you say this was?
Nearly 2:30, sir. I only just got on the field in time for the first race.
Thank you, Smithers. You can cut along now.
Thank you, sir.
You realise what this means, don't you? We've got to start the whole blasted thing all over again.
Yes, you've got a jolly morning in front of you. Are you still going to arrest Evans and Mrs. Vale?
I think we might hold that in abeyance.
You know, I'd rather you arrested them. It would put the murderer off his guard and prevent him from doing anybody else in. After all, it can't do any harm.
What the devil's that?
Just the fire alarm. Means everyone's got to get out. Go and stimulate the panic. There's a good chap. I'll leave the school to myself for a few minutes.
Well, sir, you've had your 5 minutes worth. Did you find what you were after?
I don't know yet. I'll tell you when I've had a chance to look at it.
I'm going to have another look for the handle of that stiletto. It can't just have vanished in the thin air. It's just a matter of pegging away at it. That's how mysteries are solved.
Pegging away? Oh, my holy heavens, what abysmal asses we are. Tent pegs. Have they taken the marquee away yet?
Well, first thing this morning. Well, I didn't see any reason why they should.
Well, it hasn't rained overnight. The evidence should still be there.
What exactly is it you're looking for?
I reckon this is it. This hole goes in deeper than the others. Have you got the stiletto that killed Vale?
Yeah.
Thanks. There. See? Yeah. It fits perfectly. What the murderer did was to put a wooden top on it so that it looked like a tent peg.
You mean it was stuck there in the ground all the time we were turning everything and everyone inside out?
You'd hardly have noticed it in the middle of all those real tent pegs, all pulling their weight and looking perfectly respectable.
So, the murderer only had to stand near Mr. Vale, pull the weapon out of the ground, stick it into Mr. Vale, and put it back. Who arranged the seating?
Tiverton.
And Tiverton stopped umpiring at the tea interval. And he was the first to be seen bending over the body.
Gatsby was close by. So was Sims.
And we still can't rule out Mrs. Vale. But I reckon you know which of them it was, don't you?
I think I do. But I've got to be sure. I want to stage a reconstruction of the first murder.
But I thought they'd got it all tied up. They've arrested Evans and Mrs. Vale.
It's just a blind, is it? Their arrest?
They couldn't possibly have done it. It's quite out of the question.
The police have got a very strong case against them, I'm afraid. They never take action unless they have to, you know.
But what do you hope to get out of this reconstruction? Is it going to be some kind of Hamlet stunt with the real murderer rushing off and calling for lights and so on?
I just want to get everyone's position clear. There is a chance something may turn up we've overlooked.
Are the boys going to take part?
No, that won't be necessary.
Which means that you suspect one of us in this room to be the murderer.
There is no doubt that the murderer was fully cognizant of the workings of the school. I can't go further than that at present.
Well, you're rather frightened of rubbing shoulders all day with a murderer. I wonder he doesn't have a go at you.
I can't say I'm terribly frightened. Though I must admit I keep a revolver under my pillow.
2 o'clock. Just about this time last week, one of us was getting ready to commit a murder.
Oh, for God's sake, Wrench, try to behave like a normal human being and not a Greek chorus.
Right. May I ask you to go through exactly the same actions as you did last Wednesday? Oh, could you let me have the stopwatch, Griffin?
Oh, no, righto.
And could I have a word with you, Sims?
Of course.
The scene is set. A group of deck chairs has been arranged to represent the Hay Castle. Griffin has called Mouldy to task about a row of imaginary hurdles. Nigel Strangeways, who seems to have only half his mind on the proceedings, is pulling a medium-sized exercise book out of his pocket.
You're looking bored, Superintendent.
Oh, sir.
How about a little light reading? You'll find a full account of both murders in here. Don't read it just yet. The 440 yards race is about to start.
On your marks. Get set. Go!
The white oval on the turf, the runners falling into line at the first bend, they came back out of the past, those sunny images, holding in their spell the inward eye of the watchers. Then the spell was broken. Sims, looking like an undersized popular preacher, has his hands on one of the deck chairs where the Hay Castle had been.
It was quite easy, you know. Everyone was so intent on the race, the murderer had only to walk into the hay castle, strangle his victim, and walk out again. It was the same at the cricket match. One of the tent pegs was really a dagger, you see. He had only to wait until everyone's attention was focused on the last over, pull out the dagger, plunge it into Percy, and put it back again in the earth.
Really talking about?
You are doubtless eager to hear who the murderer was. To evolve such a scheme required brilliance, and to carry it out, nerve and resolution beyond the capacity of most men. But there was someone you'd always overlooked. Someone you thought incapable of such nerve and resolution. And he did something none of you would have dared to do. You see, gentlemen, I killed Weems, and I killed Vale. I hated them, and I killed them. Right in front of your noses. And that is all I have to say. Apart from one significant gesture of farewell.
Yes, oh, God.
Hate. Just as in the celebrated Cain Abel case. And not just hate of Weems and Vale.
You mean of the two of us?
Why? I may have thought he was pretty pathetic, but I was no worse than anyone else.
Oh, no, it wasn't that.
Well, then what?
I suspect Sims may have been descended from a long line of hellfire preachers. You see, he happened to see you and Hero making love, and he took to watching the pair of you at every opportunity. He kept whipping up his Puritan blood, till in the end he believed himself an instrument of God to punish the sinner. That's why he tried to throw the guilt of his murders onto you.
But how could he have spied on us? We may have been a bit rash, but we weren't as blatant as all that.
It's all in his diary. I'll read you a bit of it.
May the 9th, in Batford Woods. Chiff-chaff, willow warbler, white-throat, all in full song. Evans and his whore there again. The serpent of sin in the garden. Wanton. Filthy.
Bird-watching. He used field glasses, of course.
But what put you on his track?
A little outburst Michael told me about. When Sims came back from having a drink with Gadsby and heard about Wrench stalking the fair Rosa.
Yeah, because some people choose to behave like animals. Disgusting filth.
So Weems had to be killed in the place where the pair of you had been making love. But I still had to find a motive for Sims choosing him as his victim. I must admit that he had me beaten until I read the diary.
June the 12th. Informed today, Weems played a vicious and unpardonable joke on me. And then everything suddenly became clear. The boy has a devil in him which contaminates all around him. I know what I have to do. Kill and spare not, saith the Lord.
Good God. But how did he know we were going to be in that hay castle?
He'd been keeping a close eye on you, and he read your note to Michael. So he sent the black spot letter to Weems, telling him to hide in the hay castle from 2 o'clock onwards.
Oh, quite childishly simple, really.
But why did he have to kill poor Percy? What harm had he done him?
I must confess, I ought to have been able to stop that. The motive had been right under my nose. I'd heard Vale giving Sims the most terrific taking off. He'd been browbeating and patronising him for years, and suddenly Sims boiled over. But he might never have gone to the length of murdering your husband if it hadn't suggested to him another magnificent way of incriminating the pair of you. Yes, he really struck the top of his form there.
So glad you joined it. How did you know about this diary of his?
I didn't for certain. I came into the common room once and I saw him writing something in an exercise book. He didn't see me. And then I noticed he either carried it about with him or kept it stowed away in his common room locker. The moment I looked at it, I knew that I'd won. I substituted another exercise book. He didn't even miss it till I told him I'd read it.
You told him?
Oh, yes. I made it clear that all was up. He knew where I kept my revolver, so I left him to it. Although I didn't expect him to put on a farewell performance at the scene of the crime. I'd left only one shot in the revolver, and it looked at one point as if he might fire it into me. But fortunately, he reenacted his part and had his crowded hour of glorious life. And here we all are.
Well, you've certainly got a nerve.
I don't know how we begin to thank you.
Well, a pot of tea would be a good start.
The part of Nigel Strangeways was played by Philip Franks. Michael Evans by Peter Aker. Hero by Emma Gregory. And Superintendent Armstrong by Struan Roger. Sims, Philip Fox. Percy Vale, David Collings. Tiverton, Jeffrey Beavers. Gadsby, Steve Hodson. Griffin, Jonathan Guy Lewis. Wrench, Colin Tierney. Rosa, Rosanna Mason. Stevens, Edmund Singer King-Smith. Ponsonby, Patrick Lidicote. Smithers, Daniel Draper. And boys from Hurstpierpoint College. The narrator was Gerard Murphy. Nicholas Blake's A Question of Proof, dramatised by Michael Bakewell and directed by Jane Morgan, was a Peer production for BBC Radio 4.